Okay. Anyway, this is a little bit, I won't say funny, most of the time. What happened was I came in today, and one of our Kosheva-based marriage guys, Nidelman, asked me, give a good talk about marriage. And I said, no. But then I decided something else to talk about, and he's not even here, of course. And then I decided I want to talk about, but I figured I could sneak the two topics together. So we're going to sneak the two topics together. So we're going to use the format, see the chachma, we're going to use the format about speaking about marriage to really speak about something else. Okay, that's it. But we're not speaking about marriage on the, obviously, the dimensions of marriage. We're talking about marriage like marriage with your chavrusa, and marriage with your roommate. Now, it also could be marriage with your wife, but the concept of just not, you know, in general, people getting along with each other. Okay. So, I have started with a story. The story was, I lived in Forest. My father was the rabbi, Young Israel Forest Hills, so I lived about 10 blocks away from the yeshiva, so I did not dorm. I lived at home when I was single. One of the great disappointments of that was that all my friends were, you know, I got married a little bit late, and all my friends were sleeping in the Rashiva's basement, and, you know, I couldn't sleep in the Rashiva's basement because I was sleeping at home. So there was one time my parents went to the mountains for the summer, the yeshiva was continuing, so at least I use that as an excuse for like a month. So I moved into Rashiva's basement. I don't stay home by myself, you know. So I moved into Rashiva's basement for about a month. I don't remember too much about it. But I remember one event. We were in the basement. The people in the basement, they sort of control really take over the ground floor. The upstairs was off limits. The ground floor was, you know, mutual territory. And, you know, the basement where the guys slept. So for whatever reason, the guys were in the living room, enjoying their apartment, you know, and the Rebbetzin comes in, everyone out! 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 Either out the building or into the basement, can't be here. Why? Someone's coming, have an appointment with the yeshiva, top secret, can't be around. Can't know who's coming, you can't see the person, you're right, everyone out. Okay? So I went into the basement. Now, it's not my fault that the person who came to speak to Rashiva was speaking on the top of her lungs, and I recognized her voice, you know. Right? It was one of the wives of someone, I want to say a Kolda wife, but someone who was affected with the yeshiva who was complaining about her husband. And she was so worked up. And lo aleinu, they did get divorced. And what was her primary complaint against her husband? That was, you know, he doesn't throw out his dirty socks. He leaves them lying around in the bedroom. Right. Think about it. That's why they got divorced. You know? Such an Irish guy. But that's it. So, there's a few lessons here. The first lesson is that you gotta be a mensch, right? Which is what I really was thinking of the other topic to talk about, right? Now, what will be an example? You go into the dining room, right? And after supper, or during supper, or during lunch, and someone decided to eat chicken, and left all his chicken bones, or chicken skin, you know, he takes this and he throws it in the middle of the table. Right? Now, some people find that nauseating. Right? Now, you might not, but some people do. I remember Rabbi Yachas when gave a whole shmooze about that he was in the yeshiva, and the yeshiva gave a shmooze, and I don't remember, so you have to tell me this if I got the story right. But I think the story goes that the yeshiva gave a shmooze on some fine delicacy, docus about consideration of other people. And after the shmooze, the guys went into the lunchroom, and that day they served fleishiks during lunch, whatever. We had one day a week with served fleishiks. And there was a certain older bacher who was chazering and talking about the Rashiva Shmuz and all the daki dakis about being considerate of other people while he was eating his chicken and throwing all the bones in the middle of the table. Rabbi Yaakov said, like, the guy's crazy. He's saying it, going over, hacking about the shmuzing, and meanwhile, he's disgusting. You know? Totally inconsiderate of other people. Right? Same thing, by the way, goes for people who leave their dirty tissues. Please, please, no dirty tissues lying around. It's also nauseating. You know? Nauseating. So, the first thing is you gotta be a mensch. The second thing is you gotta be considerate. Like, even if he's not a mensch, but if I assume she must have told him that it really bothers her. Right. Okay. Anyway, so that was the story. I think it's a scary story. People can get divorced over the stupidest little things, which is very, very true.
But thinks that that was her actual reason?
That was her. For I heard the conversation. I wasn't eavesdropping. She was screaming. That was her biggest complaint.
It wasn't a manifestation of a bigger.
He went psychologic. But what drove her up a wall was that he leaves her socks lying around the bedroom. Obviously, it's a man of faith, a guy that maybe what drove her up the wall, that he was so inconsiderate that she told him how much it bothers her and she still does it. Could be that's what drove her up the wall. I can't say, but the Maisa, that was what she was going hysterical over. Okay, anyway, the Maisa, which that is. Okay, it all connects. There's a yesod in life. That's a different story. I said this story in a Musar Vad. We had in Israel, there was a big fight in the yeshiva over do we open the windows or close the windows. I said this story recently, I think. Because some people are hot and some people are cold. And it got one year, it was mamish, almost like fist fights, you know. This guy opened, this guy closed, this guy opened, this guy closed, this guy. So it got to the point that they decided they're going to ask a shayla. No other way of making peace. So I don't remember which god though they asked. Could be the answer of Yashiv. I don't remember. I wouldn't be surprised. Sent the shayla. We have this because, you know, this guy wants the window open and this guy wants the window closed. What do we do? And they got up sock. Let's assume it was from Avi Yashiv. That in the winter, whatever, and this in the summer, I don't know, they got up sock. And basically the sock was, I do not remember, but in certain situations, if a guy's closed, cold, he has a right to close the window. Okay. So we got the sock. Oh, now we can have shalom in the yeshiva. It's not like a war going on. So sure enough, the next day, we announced the sock. The guy opens the window. The other guy closes it. I'm cold. The next guy goes right up and opens it again. So I go over to the guy. Excuse me. We just got up sock. So again, I don't remember who opened. I assume it was Rabbi Yashiv. We got up sock that if a guy is cold, he's allowed to close the window. So he can close the window. He's not cold. He's only closing the window because they get me. The psak was, if he's cold, he can close the window. But he's not cold. Right? Which means, right, that it's a true story. The guy was insistent. How do you know he's not cold? He can't be cold. It's hot in here. Right? So basically, what it means is people get into a fight, a disagreement. A disagreement is, I'm right and you're wrong. You're crazy. You have no basis. Because it's hot. So how can you say it's cold? The answer is, the real answer is, assuming we're two normal people, we can both be right. I was brought up one way. You were brought up a different way. In my world, this is hot. In your world, this is cold. We're both right. You're not lying. Right? You believe what you believe, and I believe what I believe. I like to learn slow, and you like to learn fast. We're both right. We have different personalities. It's not you're just doing it, you're crazy, or you're malicious, you're just trying to get on my nerves, or... No, we're two different people. It's now that happens to be a very important thing you say, that the other person is not crazy. Now this goes to, there's an extension to this, which is the biggest you say probably a marriage and human nature, human relations. Let's say what you very often happens, especially in a marriage where you really don't know the other person too well, but it can happen anytime in chavrusa. You do something, and which you think is fine, and the other person says, "Oh, you insulted me, you hurt me." Right? You tell a joke at the table, and you think it's a beautiful, funny joke. And your wife says, "You humiliated me. How could you say such a joke?" "Well, what's wrong with the joke? It's a fine joke. The Rosh Hashiva said that joke." "I'm so embarrassed." Right? Okay. All right. Making up such a case. It never happened. But I just think, and you know, and my parents were there, and my mother was there, and my brother was there, and the guests were there. Okay. Now. You can go, "Well, you're crazy, I'm right, you're crazy," that's it. But the truth is, just like the hot and cold, you're right and she's right, or your chavrus is right. You're right that you were brought up that it's a fine joke to say at the table, and the other person was brought up that it's not fine. So you did humiliate the other person. You didn't do it on purpose, but you did humiliate the other person because the other person is brought up this way. So what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to say, "I'm sorry," and problem solved. And I try not to do it again. Or with the dirty socks, right? When you are brought up in your family, everyone leaves the dirty socks lying around. And then she comes, your wife says, "I can't stand dirty socks." So you say, "Oh, I didn't know that. I'm sorry that it bothers you so much. From now on, I'll put the dirty socks away." But there are some people that they do not know how to say, "I'm sorry." And they do not know how to give in. This is a major, major problem. Some people, it's a guy, someone who had a chashuva position, and he basically lost his position because he got into a fight with someone, and it was all because he couldn't apologize. All he had to do was say, "I'm sorry," and it would have been over. Instead, they got into such a fight, and the whole, to the point is that, you know, he lost his position. And the guy said, "It's covered Hatayra." I told the guy, "Why don't you just apologize?" "I should apologize. Covered Hatayra." Nothing to do with covered Hatayra. It was pure gaiva. And he didn't have the midas to apologize. And that's it. And he, my father was a shul rabbi, and he spent, every shul rabbi gets involved with different things. My father spent an amazing amount of time on shalom issues. Shalom issues with shalom bias issues, but also a lot on partner issues. A lot of the members of the shul were business partners. And they had business machlekesim. And he used to tell me all the time, "These people are crazy. They get into fights. They get lawyers. It costs them millions of dollars." I don't make an exaggeration, but sometimes a marriage costs them millions of dollars, and at the end they have to break up the partnership, which for sure costs millions of dollars. And it's, the whole fight is over $10. Right? One person, there was a maisa here in Florida. I was on the news that there was two partners in a catering hall. There used to be a Frum catering hall, a signature grant that there used to be. There were two partners, and one of them hired his wife as a secretary, and the other one said, you can't do that. And they got into a fight, and eventually one took out a gun and shot the other one. The other one, so one's dead, and the other one's in jail. Okay, Okay, that's how people are. There was a story, I remember my father told me the story. This is a true story. There was a certain business that was a very, very successful business. There were two partners. They were both, one was from the shul, one was from the other community next door, but they were both, we knew them both. The one partner, it was a multi-million dollar business. And one partner decided he's going to sell his half of the business. And this was in the 70s when Israel was on a very, it wasn't like it is today. He'll move to Eretz Israel with $1 million and he'll live like a king. He'll retire early. He was a young guy, 40, let's say. He'll buy a mansion and he'll have the, in Israel in those days, when it was in the early years, Israel was very, it was a fakir, it was undeveloped, it was American money went very far. See, he decided he's moving to Israel, he's going to sell his half partnership and move. So the other partner said, we get along together well, we work out, but you're going to sell your partnership, who knows who you're going to sell it to, maybe I won't like the partner. So I, request, that you shouldn't, that I should have a right to veto whoever you want to sell it to. Okay, maybe it's a normal request. The other guy said, no, you can't veto who I want to sell it to. I want to sell it to the highest buyer. And they got into a big fight. And the guy said, tough luck on you. I'm selling it to the highest price. So the other guy went ahead and he went to the IRS and he showed them that they had fake books. And he showed them that they had real books. And the IRS closed up the business. And it was a bizayin and a chido Hashem for everybody. And ha ha, I got you. You can't move to Israel because you have no business to sell. Ha ha, I won. It's a true story. The guy went and just destroyed his own business, his million-dollar business, and the bizayinus, and everything, because I have to win. I'm going to let you win? Because the other guy says he's going to win. He's going to sell his partnership, and that's it. Tough luck on you. So I won. Right? There are many people, in yeshiva, in the business, very often, we have so many times people get insulted. We had I don't want to go into details, but sometimes, you can have Baal Batim can get insulted. We had a Maisa, if none of you will know. There was a dinner. And there was some person that, for whatever reason, the yeshiva wanted to honor. So the master of ceremonies gave this person, we want to give recognition to so-and-so. And he called him by his English name. And the guy didn't like his English name. Oh, he's supposed to know that. You humiliated me in public. He was, that's it, the yeshiva. So, I apologize. Now, personally, I think the guy was a little bit, overly sensitive. What do you want from me? So the master of ceremonies used your English name instead of your Hebrew name. But the guy was livid, and he would never give a penny to the yeshiva again, and he's going to tell all his friends not to give yeshiva. The yeshiva is such a rich, okay, now, he's a little bit overreacting. It wasn't on purpose, and it wasn't me, it was the master of ceremonies. What do you want from us? But the guy's upset. You apologize. What's the big deal? Right? You go and say, I'm sorry that we insulted you. I really feel bad, and well, make sure, try not to do it again. And that was the end of it. Right? These things happen all the time, but there are some people that they mamish cannot give in. They can't give in if they get into a fight over the socks. They can't give in, and they surely can't say, I'm sorry. And they can't give in. I know people who lost their jobs over it, and I know people who lost their marriage over it. It's a terrible thing. Person has to be ready to say, and it should be real. It shouldn't be fake. It is real. I really am sorry that you're so upset. And since everyone is different, it's not just that you are crazy. Even sometimes when you think you're crazy, you can say you're sorry. But usually you shouldn't think that. You were brought up differently. In your society, dirty socks is disgusting. In my society, dirty socks is beautiful. That's perfume. But okay. And to you, it's disgusting. I didn't know that. So I apologize. I'm sorry. I hurt you. I didn't know you were so, this would be so important to you. If I would have known, I wouldn't have done it. It's honest. It's sincere. and it solves all the problems. Okay. Anyway, we're going through. Now, what happens in marriage, chavrusas, roommates? What happens if you have a disagreement? Right? In this kind of case, I want to go fast and you want to go slow. Right? We go out to buy a couch. I like the brown one and you like the white one. So there are some people that say that you take out a scorecard and you say, okay, yesterday I gave in, so today you have to give in. Right? That's bad. Because it don't work that way, because not every giving in is the same. But besides which, the whole concept is, it means that we're fighting each other. It's not, I'm supposed to want you to be happy, and you're supposed to want me to be happy. So it's not like me against you. The answer is, it's a very simple formula. Except that it happens to work against the husband, but what can you do? It's a very simple formula. The formula is that anything that you consider important and I don't, I give in. Anything that I consider important and you don't, you give in. That makes sense. Because we both care about each other. If it really means a lot to you, why shouldn't I give in? It doesn't mean so much to me. If it means a lot to me and it doesn't mean so much to you, why shouldn't you give in? So a healthy relationship of two people, they work with this formula because they each want to make the other person happy. And if it means so much to you and it doesn't mean so much to me, why shouldn't I give in on something relatively trivial to make you happy? Now, it happens to be, like I said, that since women are more caring about many things like the furniture and the wedding invitation and the wedding hall and a lot of the gashmias things which men don't really care that much about, even though I don't say they don't care, but they don't care as much. So it means that you give in. Hopefully it means that certain things, when it comes to the ruchnias, right, if you're going to have an argument whether or not you should have a TV in the house, and of course you're a ben teira, you're very stark, there shouldn't be a TV in the house, and to you that's eish lahava, and she's, even if she doesn't want, but she's not, hopefully if you marry a girl that she's eish lahava, she wants a television, or else there's something wrong with your shatzin, so she should give in, right? But that, there are things that, but you give in on certain things, but it's not tack for tack, is that what the word, tick for tack? What? Tick for tack. It's you give what things that are important to the other person. Now, so if I'm learning bikkias with someone, and my chavrusa is very, very important to him to go slow, because if he doesn't go slow, he doesn't get shot. And to him, it's major. And I would prefer to go fast, but it's not so important to me. So you give in. Okay? Okay, now, what happens if it's very important to both of you? Okay, you got a problem. Shouldn't have married. So, you got a problem. So there's either you have to want, two things can happen. Three things can happen. Either the best scenario would be that you both realize that it's very important to both of you, and therefore you compromise. Each person gives in 50%. But it doesn't always work that way, because some very often one party, because it's so important to them, it's so important I can't even compromise. So then you have a decision. Let's say with chavrusa, I want to go fast. It's very, very important to me, and the chavrusa wants to go slow, and it's very, very important to him. And neither of us want to compromise. Okay, so you have a choice. Either get divorced, right? Get a different chavrusa, or you might have to give in even on something that's very important to you. Those are your really only two choices. Once you tried, you've made it very, very clear that this is very, very important to me. And the other side still says, yeah, well, it's very important to me, and I'm not giving in. And you see the other side isn't giving in. So then you have to decide. You have a choice. Either you know, if you see the other side's not giving in, so you can either go for a divorce, which, you know, sometimes it's not, it's the right decision. There are times people should get divorced. And chavrut, there are times that people should break up chavrutas. There are times. Or you can just say, well, even though it's so important, but it's more important to me not to get divorced. The big mistake that people do is they think that if they nudge the other person enough times, they will get the other person to give in. And that is obviously a big, big mistake, because there's a simple rule in life that everyone who has been through a life knows, I'm sure both of you people know, that nudging has always the opposite effect. No one likes to be nudged. And when you nudge someone too many times, you just cause the other person to become more stubborn. That's just the way in human nature. Why? I can't tell you why. But that's the way it is. So you cannot, you can go ahead and in a nice way, you can voice your opinion and you can discuss it and you can discuss things and you can explain that this is very meaningful to me and this is what I would like. And okay, and then the other person voices their opinion in a respectful manner, that you respect each other. You're not crazy because you have your background, and I'm not crazy because I have my background. And though regretfully the shotgun or whatever didn't know that there was this difference, and now we have this major difference that I like Crest and you like Colgate. And how are we going to solve this major problem? And it is extremely, extremely difficult, but if we can compromise, it's fine. If we can't compromise, then one of us has to give in. And if neither of us decide to give in, then we're in big trouble. But regretfully, sometimes people have, like, there's this famous story of the people that got into the big fight over the garbage, right? There's a famous story that the people, husband and wife, got into the newlyweds. Supposedly a true story. That they got into a big fight, who's supposed to take out the garbage. And basically they couldn't reach a resolution. So they had to go call up at least they were smart enough, they did that, they called the Shaska Shaida. So they had to call Rav Gifter. But it just means that it's ridiculous that people have, that they, you know, cannot give in. You know, you don't have to call Rav Gifter to answer the Shaida. Who should take out the garbage? Rav Gifter came over to the house and took out the garbage. Right, that's the story. And he came over and he says, "I, you know, you're both right. Neither of you should take it out, so I'll take it out." Right, so, which was basically saying that somebody should give in. You know, okay. Anyway, but that is. I think that all these rules are not just for marriage and for any relationship with people. And chavrusas and roommates is you have to treat the other person with respect. You have to realize that they're not crazy. If it's because they disagree with you, doesn't mean they're wrong. For all you know, you're wrong and they're right. Or very possibly you're both right because you're different. You know, there's no way of knowing that you're wrong and they're right. I mean, you're right and they're wrong. How do you know? It's just as good as a chance that you're wrong and the other one's right. But the probability is that you're both right. So you have to treat the other person with respect, and you got to try, and since the other person is right, you got to try and make the other person happy because they have a legitimate issue here. You don't see it. I don't see what's wrong with leaving dirty socks lying around. It doesn't make a difference. It bothers them. Anyway, I think that's very important. My agav thing is, I wanted to stick in, is about the chicken bones and the socks and the tissues, that happens to drive me crazy. I can't walk into the dining room after supper. I walk in there to get a cup of tea, and I come in for a night seder, and it very often nauseates me. You know, guys are not, I don't know, besides that people should throw their plates out, but I don't know, it's just something. So it will be the same thing, that people are different.
So
It's a high school.
Okay, could be. It could be. It's a high school. We'll blame it. It's very good. We can blame it on the high school. But sometimes I suspect that the high schools aren't around the base medrash so much. They leave so many tissues lying around. Okay. All right. Yeshikaya.